Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is Great Awakenings on GlobalFreedomTV.com. I'm Scott Bennett, your host, and tonight we are joined by the great Dr. James Fetzer to examine some of the key elements regarding the 9/11 attacks. We've been doing a program analyzing every scientific piece of evidence, every vantage point, every video, and we are, of course, refreshing people with the very clear understanding that the government's narrative for the 9/11 events is physically, scientifically impossible. And that means that something else happened, and something that is probably the greatest crime in the history of humanity. It is certainly the greatest crime against the American people. And we must always remind ourselves of just exactly what happened and who did it in order to prepare for what may need to happen with regards to bringing all those responsible parties to full account. Dr. Fetzer, it is great to have you with us. I know you have a wonderful presentation of slides and evidence, so I'm going to hand it to you and let us jump right into it. Go ahead, Dr. Fetzer.
Oh, thanks very much, Scott. I thought tonight we'd talk about the four crash sites and the evidence that all four of them were fabricated or faked, and in fact, none of the 9/11 aircraft crashed on 9/11. We begin with the official account. It's interesting that ICTS was a security team at all of the airports from which the flights allegedly departed. That's an Israeli security firm. And we know, actually, 9/11 was brought to us, compliment to the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. It was the inspiration of Bibi Netanyahu and Ehud Olmert, two prime ministers of Israel, to concoct a plan that would justify the United States sending military forces to the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region. I did a special on 9/11 that will cover aspects I'm not covering here tonight, which you can find on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. Just do a search at the top for 9/11 special in memoriam for Robert David Steele. So we know we have the four crash sites. It turns out that Edward Henry, who's quite a brilliant guy, had the good sense to capture Bureau of Transportation Statistics records showing that no American Airline Flight 11 was scheduled to depart Boston Logan on 9/11. Now that, of course, is supposed to have been a plane that hit the North Tower. Well, it did not. It wasn't even in the air. He also captured Bureau of Transportation Statistics charts showing no American Airline Flight 77 was scheduled to depart Washington Dulles on 9/11. 77, of course, is alleged to have hit the Pentagon, but it was not even in the air. Indeed, it turns out that with Jeremy Gunn, I investigated the reasons and rationale for 9/11 and how the motivation was, as I described, to benefit Israel. That one is out of place, alas. Here's a photograph from a crash site, supposedly in Shanksville, which appears to have been photoshopped. Notice the smoke, which turns out to have been over a pond, resembles that of an explosive, not that of a plane crash on the right. Here's the actual hole in the ground. It's about 10 feet deep and 17 feet wide. The plane had a 125-foot wingspan, a tail that stood 140 feet above the ground. The first reporters on the ground, this is one Chris Kanicki, said the eerie aspect of the crash site was there was no indication that any plane had crashed there, and that's because no plane, in fact, had crashed there. Here we have a simulation of what many seek to apologize to explain away the absence of flash debris that it crashed into a, this is an area that had been subject to mining and that the mine had disappeared into an abandoned mine shaft. Well, that's ludicrous on its face, but guess what? We know what to do with miners who are trapped in mine shafts. We break out the lights in heavy equipment and dig 24/7 in the hope that someone by a miracle might have survived. We did not undertake that task, even to recover the bodies of the 45 souls that were supposed to have been aboard the plane, because, of course, they weren't there. Turns out that Flight 93 was still airborne after the crash. Pilots for 9/11 Truth tracked and discovered Flight 93 was over Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, after it had officially crashed in Shanksville in the Pentagon. Here we have four of the five frames that the Pentagon released, seemingly the only video evidence they had of what happened on 9/11. Notice in the upper left, you have what's labeled to be a plane. It's labeled to be a plane with a white plume coming out of it. Well, I asked Jack White, who was a colleague from JFK Research, if he could impose the image of a 757 and scale it to the tail, where it turns out to be more than twice as large. In other words, this plane cannot possibly be a 757. Moreover, the white plume, both pilots and aeronautical engineers explained to me, cannot be the exhaust of a jet, but could be the white plume of a missile being fired into the building. Well, Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch has just confirmed by obtaining, here you can see the white plume I'm talking about, the outline of what looks like it might be a plane. Well, Tom Fitton has just discovered, what was supposed to be the video. She's just found it available, and you can actually see the missile fired. Here it is. You can see the missile fired into the building. Notice you'll see a car come through. They had a whole lot more footage than they released to the public. Even though the Pentagon is the most heavily surveilled building in the world, this is the only footage they would release. Now look in this area here. It'll happen very fast. And you'll see how the plane, which has been identified as an unmanned aerial vehicle, a Global Hawk, fires a missile into the building. It happened very fast. Meanwhile, two lime green civilian fire trucks that happened to be in the vicinity showed up to extinguish the very modest fires that remained. Notice in particular the clear, unblemished Pentagon lawn. Notice that virtually the complete absence of any debris from an aircraft. Here you have another photograph showing the lawn in front of the building. There is no aircraft debris there. And that's even after this section of the building had collapsed, which only occurred 45 minutes after the hit. This one piece of debris shows up later, over 45 minutes later. We're going to discuss it in some detail. Here you had some parties. Are they picking up or are they laying down debris? Very, very strange. They came out with a blue tarp, but wasn't clear exactly what was being covered by the blue tarp. Again, very strange. Now, here's a hit point. You can see some cable fence. There are two automobiles, two big spools that were off fire. But notice, while there's some unbroken windows here, there's no massive pile of aluminum debris from a 100-ton airliner. You don't see any bodies, no seats, no luggage, no wings, no tail. Here you see that area that collapsed after it was excavated. Notice, I even suspect the fireball images may have been fake because you don't see any evidence here of a fire. Notice, here you even have what appears to be a wooden stand for an Oxford Unabridged Dictionary. No signs of fire. Here is the official trajectory approach where it's supposed to take out a series of lampposts. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lampposts en route to hitting the first floor of the Pentagon. Well, this required a fantastic maneuver that pilots said they couldn't imagine executing themselves, and they thought it was fantastic that this Hanny Hanjour, who couldn't even fly a Cessna, could possibly have made it happen. Now, it turns out that a 9/11 investigative team discovered there are witnesses at a Citgo station. This is a station who reported seeing a plane approach a Pentagon, but it was on the opposite side of the building. The green is a trajectory the government claims the plane came in. The golden lines, however, are what were reported by the witnesses at the Citgo station. Now, it turns out Norman Mineta reported to the 9/11 Commission that he was in an underground bunker with Dick Cheney When an aide came up and said to him, sir, it's 50 miles out. Sir, it's 40 miles out. Sir, it's 30 miles out. Does the order still stand? And Cheney whipped around and said, of course the order still stands. Have you heard anything to the contrary? What Mineta didn't understand is that a plane was being allowed to fly toward the Pentagon. Now, when they're being used as weapons, the obvious thing to do is to take out the plane. You lose the plane and the passengers, but you do not lose the property or personnel at the target. This is a plane they saw with the gold lines approach the Pentagon. Now, a dear friend of mine, Roy Schaefer from JFK Research, had a friend who was a trucker in front of the Pentagon. And he described to Roy watching the plane approach the building and then swerve to fly over it. So the plane that Cheney was allowing to approach the Pentagon was one that was designed to fly over the building and create a false impression of having hit the building. Now here's Jamie McIntyre. He was easily the best correspondent for CNN on the ground at the time. He was asked by the anchor about the plane that hit the building, and he said, well, you might think that, but from my close-up inspection, there's no sign of a plane having hit anywhere near the Pentagon. There's some small pieces of something you could pick up in your hand, but there's no debris, no wings, no tail, no nothing. And it's because what he was picking up was from the Global Hawk, made of synthetic material, that crashed into the building after firing a missile into it. This is Major General Albert Stubblebine. He was in charge of all U.S. signals intelligence, including photographic, giving an interview in Germany about he knew that no plane had hit the Pentagon. The facade of the Pentagon is limestone, relatively soft. He observed there was no imprint of the plane on the building, about which he's 100% correct. While Condoleezza Rice and others said they had no idea a plane could be used to attack the Pentagon, here's part of a simulation that was conducted months before contradicting her claim, where Condoleezza Rice even called Willie Brown, who was the head of the California Assembly, the most powerful politician in California, and warned him in advance not to fly on 9/11. Here's that piece of fuselage. Now, it is from a 757. But notice, it doesn't appear to have been involved in a violent collision. It would be all crumpled. It doesn't appear to have been exposed to intense fire. It showed no signs of fire damage. And entwined in the piece of wreckage is a vine not indigenous to the Arlington, Virginia area. A retired attorney in Columbus, Ohio, by the name of James Hansen, tracked this piece of fuselage back to the crash of a Boeing 757 near Cali, Columbia in 1995, where the plane lost way. They crashed into the side of a mountain after traveling through a jungle where these vines are found in abundance. Later in the afternoon, black smoke was seen coming up from the Pentagon, which was very, very strange. I couldn't understand, because the lime green fire trucks had put out the very modest fires. It turned out this fire, this smoke, was coming from a series of enormous dumpsters in front of the Pentagon that were designed to intimidate members of Capitol. When they put out a warning that the Capitol was next, and they came out on the steps to look across to the Pentagon and saw all this billowing black smoke. Donald Rumsfeld, the day before, had announced $23 trillion was missing from the budget. And the following, as though he knew something, we're going to intervene to wipe that from consciousness so he could waltz into the Capitol and ask for hundreds of billions in additional spending the following day. Scott, you want to?
Jim, let me just launch in. The thing that was most remarkable about the Pentagon hit was the no plane divot into the grass. There was no trail or flow into the grass. Auditors that were in the part of the building that was struck, the Rumsfeld's proclamation the day before with Roger Zackheim, the comptroller, Roger Zackheim, of course, Project for a New American Century, notorious in a lot of this cover up. The Pentagon was the greatest crime, I think, because the military officers who were sworn to uphold the Constitution committed treason that day by their silence. They knew full well that no plane hit the Pentagon. They knew full well they should have come out and immediately organized an arrest of everyone at the White House and everyone in Congress that was playing a role in this. The military should have stood up and said, no, something else is happening. There is not a plane. All of this is a fraud. But instead, the military played along. The military is in this sense, the greatest enemy of the people of the United States, because they were entrusted to stand up at this particular moment, and they refused. They sold their soul for 30 pieces of silver, medals on their chest, and retirement. So there's no one I despise more than members of the military that didn't come out and who were in the Pentagon at the time and did not proclaim this is a complete fraud, and this country has to have an immediate martial law until all parties who are involved with this within the United States government are executed for treason. The absence of that has led us down this juggernaut path of self-destruction ever since. Jim, I'll hand it back to you.
Yeah, Scott, the whole thing was massively fraudulent, and you're completely right about the absence of debris on the Pentagon lawn. If it had hit those stationary lampposts at over 400 miles an hour, it would have had the same effect as if the plane had been stationary and hit by lampposts at over 400 miles an hour. They would have ripped open the wings where the gas is stored, mixed with air, burst on fire, and just spread debris all over the Pentagon lawn. So the fact that the Pentagon lawn is bereft of wreckage for 45 minutes indicates that it did not happen, that the whole story is a fantasy. And then the debris starts showing up, and it includes such things as that piece of a fuselage that was from a crash in Cali, Colombia, 1995. And then they have fake fires in a dumpster. I was living in Duluth at the time, and I had a member of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which I had founded, come by to show me 40 more frames of the dumpster fire from a different angle. And you could see light between the Pentagon building and the dumpsters. I mean, how bad is that? Yeah. And that's a U.S. military. They had to include an attack on the Pentagon, Scott, in order to claim this was an act of war, because otherwise it would just have been an act of terrorism. And let me say, the fact that Rumsfeld, you know, had directed the team to track down the missing $2.3 trillion in the West Wing, he was setting them up to be killed by the missile. He said, go there with all the records of the missing money, set it up so they would be killed, and then he could waltz into the halls of Congress and ask for hundreds of billions more in defense spending. Outrageous. So our highest elected officials, the vice president, the secretary of defense, were deceiving and betraying the American people once again, Scott.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now we're going to turn to New York and what happened there. And as I've already explained, Flight 11 was not even in the air. So the question becomes, what happened? There was a French film team calling themselves the Naudé Brothers, or purportedly there to follow up on NY fire department activities, where the cameraman just happened to swing up his camera and catch the hit. Now, by the time the sound had reached him, the plane would have been far beyond, so this had to be pre-positioned. In fact, there's a Scotsman named Leslie Ravel who said that for the Naudé team to be where they were at the time and capture the footage required satisfying over 1,000 improbable circumstances, over 1,000. Here's the first hit. It doesn't really look a lot like a plane. Rosalie Grable, known as a web fairy, said when she sequenced what they captured, it looked to her like a flying pig. At one point, initially, it looked like a Z impact, then later a V, and they actually extended the V. Now, when a plane travels through dust or smoke, it sets up turbulence like this, but we had no such turbulence at the North Tower, indicating no plane was present. Here we have now, flipping to the South Tower, Flight 175 approaching the building. Now we have a host of videos about it, and multiple expert sources have declared that was flying around, I think, as much as 580 miles an hour, far in excess of what that plane, if it were actually a Boeing 767, could do at that altitude. Here we have the speed analyzed. Pilots have analyzed data provided by the NTSB, in which they conclude, okay, 510 knots for 175, 430 for 11 at the North Tower. But this far exceeded the benchmark set by the crash in 1999 of Egypt Air 990, which exceeded its maximum operating limits and caused structural failure. It would have come apart in the air. Here you see, by the way, had this been a real plane actually hitting the building, it would have shattered into pieces. But instead, what do we get? It effortlessly passes into the building. Some have called it the butter plane or the ghost plane. The butter plane, the idea being that this has a 110-story cube of butter since it so effortlessly disappears. There are no collision effects. Yet it's intersecting 8 different floors. Each floor is a steel truss connected at one end with a massive 47 core columns at the other to the 230 steel, very formidable steel support columns. There's no possible way that plane could have entered that building. Yet we have people falling from the Trade Center, and we have other efforts. Here's most telling. This is Evan Fairbanks shooting a film directly upward. We've actually counted the frames. We find the plane disappears its entire length into the building in the same number of frames it passes its entire length through air, which is a physical impossibility, unless a massive 500,000 ton steel and concrete building provides no more resistance to the trajectory of an airplane in flight than air. And notice in the bottom left, Scott, the nose out phenomenon, just to prove this was not a real plane. The nose of the plane poked through. When this happened on air live, they went fade to black. They disappeared the image because the game had been given away by the nose out. An engine was even planted at Church and Murray. Jack White prepared this for pickup or delivery. It was under a steel scaffolding, under a canopy, just sitting on the sidewalk. Now, if something that massive had hit at high velocity, it would have dug up the sidewalk. Jack Pound, from Fox News footage, a white van in the vicinity with like 5 men in FBI vests, even 6, were unloading something heavy. They were unloading the engine, which turned out to be an antiquated engine no longer in service. So now we have to figure out, how did they fake it? There are a series of different alternative hypotheses. Rosalie Grable thought it was done doing computer-generated images. We have Ace Baker suggesting it was done with video compositing. There's a delay between the time video is taken and the time it's broadcast, during which you could add images. The third theory is it was done using holograms. The question then becomes, how do we distinguish between them? Well, Richard D. Hull of the UK performed what he called his Flight 175 3D radar study. He examined all of the videos to see which were sufficiently precise to plot the location of the plane at a time as it approached the building, and he found 27 that worked. He plotted it. He discovered NTSB had a similar plot. They claimed to be based on radar. Well, he took a look at the radar and found it didn't look legitimate to him, but he discovered there was other radar, and it showed a plane path 1,200 feet to the side, 1,200 feet to the side of the plotted images. So how do you then explain the impossible impact, the impossible speed? That military radar did not detect a plane in the observed position, but rather 1,200 feet to the side, by virtue of a holographic projection. So a plane was actually flying faster than a 767 could fly at that altitude. It entered the building with no collision effect because that wasn't a real physical object, and it thus effortlessly passed into the building. The nose-out occurred because of a hand-eye coordination problem. They didn't coordinate to get rid of it fast enough, and that all by itself blows the whole scheme. I was sent this page from an Australian military manual for an airborne holographic projector. A holographic projector displays a three-dimensional visual image in a desired location removed from the display generator. A projector can be used for psychological operation and strategic perception management. It's also useful for optical deception and cloaking, providing a momentary distraction when engaging in an unsophisticated adversary. Now, we mentioned before, there was this absence of, the wind turbulence at the North Tower. Here we have further confirmation about Flight 175. That was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, after it had officially hit the South Tower. I would have more for you, my friend, but I think that will have to do. Let us switch back. Scott, I wanted to add about the Nade brothers.
Yes.
Just to understand how phony this is, they were filming on Duane Street. And if you take the letters of Duane ST and rearrange them, you get Nade Brothers. This was totally fraudulent from beginning to end. Now, it's interesting, as we discussed briefly before the show, that there's new footage showing no plane hitting the South Tower. And I want to suggest, since it was a hologram, that it was taken from a perspective where the hologram was simply not visible. If you can, I would be delighted for you to play, to share those videos.
Yeah, let me bring this up right now. We've got some videos here. Let me load them up. All right, let's see. There we go. So here is one of the videos that shows the explosion, but no plane hitting the building. So let's play that again and just identify the piece, the parts for people to watch. Now pay attention here. Right here is the point of impact, but you do not see any plane along this trajectory speeding into the building. There's no plane flying into the building, yet the three sides of the building explode simultaneously. Watch the explosion from the right, from the front, and from the back all emerge at the same time, which would not have happened. This side would not have exploded at the same time as the front and the side here. This would have been left alone, if anything. But watch the simultaneous explosion and no plane from this direction.
Had it been a real plane, yeah.
We'll see it one more time, because I think this is the most important video of the entire. If that was a plane, it would have smashed and shattered and been all over, and it wouldn't have been a combustion with that level. That was a explosive And we'll go through it real slow. Watch in real slow motion. Now, see that? It comes out the front first. Then it comes out the side on the right. Now, you see that? Maybe that's a bird.
Yeah. This is good. Very good, Scott.
So it just, no plane, and then suddenly the explosion from inside coming out and to the side. Now, there's quite a shadow from that explosion, Jim. Do you see that on the
right?
Yeah,
I do. Very interesting, Scott.
So there's two kind of shadows here, and then one on the right side is a big shadow. That's very strange. It's like something protruding. That must have been too the nose that they said came out from the plane.
I think so, Scott.
It wasn't the nose, it was something else. And those are solid pieces of structure. Look how far that explosion extends to the right, touching the side of the other building almost.
Yes.
But no.
I want to add, I want to add that arbitrating among the three theories of CGI, computer generated images, video compositing, and holograms, I've been affected by the number of reports of parties who reported seeing what they took to be a real plane in real time approaching the building. Over 500. I went through them with Andrew Johnson, who's an associate of Judy Wood, and they're describing very different large, small, military, commercial. But the fact is, if you have reports that are authentic of a plane approaching the building, then it cannot have been CGI or video compositing, because those would only show up when the footage is broadcast. So that affected me strongly in my conclusion that it had been the use of a hologram. Good.
Yes.
Here's another. Yeah,
I think you're right, Jim. I think a hologram is a key issue. Let's see. Now just watch again right here. See how this explodes. There's no plane that you can see anywhere. There's no plane coming this direction either.
Wow.
And you know what? Watch that real slow. Watch this explode. It seems to rip around the side of the building. See that? It starts on the side, but then it comes around like it's a series of detonations against the wall, right?
Yes.
And then there's a bigger one on the bottom.
Well, you know, we had the gelatin group. These Israeli art students were in the north and the south tower, who could have prepared these explosions to simulate planes hitting the buildings.
Yeah. See how it just kind of wraps around. And there's an explosion on the floors at the bottom, too. See, there's a floor. Very strange pattern. We'll watch it one more time. But no planes anywhere.
Wow. That apparently does look like it is in the other building at this point. Back off. They're telling us to back off.
They're telling us to back off. That's what the reporter just said. They're telling us to back off. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Wonder why. One more time. Explosion on the front side that wraps around the back, but nothing really comes out. Nothing to be seen except sparks.
That apparently does
the other building at this point.
And let's play another one that we've got here.
I'm not sure that's the Twin Towers. What? Go ahead. Yeah.
There's some Pentagon ones too. Let's see what this one is. High on the rooftop above.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Now this one's a little suspect because he goes out in the garage and he immediately focuses and gets a close-up of the building just as it explodes. Watch, Scott.
Very good.
Steps outside right here, right? He steps outside, but then watch his camera do a sudden close-up, right? He fades and goes to a new picture, a new image, and does a big close-up just as it blows up. Let's go back and watch him. So there's something funny about this guy. And listen to his theatrical, dramatic, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. There's something weird about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Close up. Keep closing up.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Lloyd, Clifton. Lloyd, do you know about the World Trade Center? All right, the second tower just exploded. I went to go vote this morning and I went to park my car and I'm on the roof of this garage and I, as a matter of fact, just caught the second explosion on videotape.
So there's something funny about that guy.
God, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
I love your discerning eye, my friend.
Let's play. Here's the other Pentagon one.
Now, if it had been CGI or video compositing, then the witnesses would all have to be wrong. Yeah, here's one more. Go for that. This is a Pentagon.
Yeah, let me get this up. Start from the beginning. This is the Pentagon. Now watch, this is the missile. It's not a plane. If it was a plane, it would be very big and it would have crashed. First of all, this can't fly this way. It can't fly straight. It would have been hitting all the big light posts, and those light posts are steel and concrete. You don't knock those down. They're huge. And this allegedly goes right through them. It's not a plane. It looks like a missile that just slams right in here. Let's play it. Goes slow back and forth, slow motion. Now, there's no firebomb there, Jim. As you kind of commented earlier, there was an absence of fire in the wreckage, and this certainly kind of shows that. Watch, there's no fire in this video.
Excellent point, Scott. Excellent. I believe they added the fireball in those images.
I mean, there's a concussion, there's an explosion, but weapons, missiles aren't designed to create fireballs. They're designed for concussion effects to destroy bunkers and, cause a massive damage, not to go into a pyrotechnic special effect. Now, let's go to the other video, the final video.
Yeah, it's also Pentagon, I believe.
Yep. Here it is. Now notice the fireball that comes.
This is the video I actually played before that Tom Fitton obtained from the Pentagon under Freedom of Information. But go ahead and play it, Scott. You got a better version of it.
Yeah, and it goes on for 2 minutes. But
well, this is where I'm suggesting the fireball may have been added to the video.
Yeah, let's watch it closely.
So we got one without the fireball and another with a fireball. Yeah. I think we're forced to conclude the fireball was added. And notice that appears to be a fallen part of the building, which didn't actually happen for 45 more minutes, Scott. So that's disturbing, too.
And see,
I think they mucked this up. Look at that. That looks like it's already fallen.
Now here it comes right here. Now look at the height of this. A plane would have been massive. It wouldn't have been that close off the ground. But watch the shape and size of the fireball. Okay, there's the direct impact. But watch how it evolves into a bubble. There.
It does not look right
to me.
Looks
like two different fireballs in a sense, Jim.
Very good, Scott. Yes.
There's the sudden boom explosion. And you know, there's something different there, Jim, because look, right here, you see this structure? I don't know what this is, but see this structure. This is like a wall or something. But watch, that is not present in the frame before. See,
that's like, good, Scott. That's very good.
They have messed
with this little video.
See, the structure here is right about the middle of the cone, but then the structure here moves over about a half an inch from the cone. You see that?
Yeah.
So right here is the structure of something. I don't know what, but it's very hard to see. But it's right here at the tip of this cone. But now, watch what happens. And now we have a new structure that is now... The center of that structure is not over the tip of the cone. The center is over here to the side of the cone. That's an immovable structure, allegedly. So I think this fireball, there's no fireball here, then suddenly boom, but then the fireball kind of changes shape into a big blob, circular mushroom.
Excellent. Great work, Scott. I love it. Great work. This is not the Tom Fitton video, which had the car in it. This is a segment, perhaps, from it, but not the original. So this is very, very good, Scott. I really like this.
Now let's just go fast forward, see.
Notice how clean the lawn is, Scott. Even after this, notice the lawn is pristine.
Yeah, and there's a car that goes by.
Yeah, there is another car at the end, yeah.
And there's a big bright shock. I don't know what that is. It's almost like a change of frame.
Overexposure.
Now, see that, Jim, too? Right here. Watch this. Do you see that?
The right devil, the appearance of the devil? The image of a face there, Scott.
No, look at that. Right here. Let me go. Shit, go back. Right here. What is this? This looks like some kind of a, I don't know.
Oh, over here on the left?
Yeah, right here.
I was looking at the face, the cloud-shaped face.
Well, right here.
That's a good question. What the hell is that?
I don't know what this is. Let's go back and watch it real slow. The explosion happens, but then look right above, right there.
Yeah.
Let's play it real slow.
Why is that showing up?
It's two different. There's two different films there, Jim. There's that, and then there's the explode right there. That explosion, but you see this structure changes. This structure moves over, which means before the angle was different. They've shifted the angle of this camera. Right there, you see this structure here, and now it moves over here to the left.
Now you see why they didn't want to release this, Scott. They
right
did a
here.
Sloppy.
Watch,
they did a sloppy
that,
job.
It moves.
Yeah, sloppy job.
Right here, then it moves. You see, I'm going to leave my cursor there. Watch this. Right here, my cursor's on the middle. Now it's moved over to the left. Did you see that?
Yeah, very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. The camera is stationary. It should not move at all. Scott, excellent work, my friend. Excellent.
So, Jim, I'll let you close us out. We're obviously seeing more and more. The bottom line is it's the greatest crime that ever happened to America. It was the death of America, the death of our Constitution, the death of our country. America died that day. We've turned into a Mr. Hyde, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, or the Wolfman. We've turned into the Wolfman, this monster that has devoured and destroyed the world. And now the world is destroying the monster, turning away from the monster, rejecting America. And it all started in 9/11, which doesn't mean it can't be rectified, doesn't mean we can't have a fix, doesn't mean we can reconcile and heal. We can, but there has to be almost a French Revolution reckoning, a bloody reckoning, and a absolute fearless reckoning in the military and in the Congress. Everything that was associated, everyone associated with that day needs to be brought to justice, and this full exposure needs to occur. Otherwise, this country will not survive, because that, I think God has judged us for the most horrific crime ever. And I will never let that go. And we're some of the few people, Jim, that could remember that day vividly. We were alive on that day. And so many young people have no idea. They weren't even born then. But yet, I think it is the greatest crime in the history of the United States that has to be answered for. Jim, I'll hand it to you to get your thoughts. Go ahead.
Oh, Scott, I think you've done a wonderful addition to the analysis here with these two new, well, actually four or five new videos. I really was very impressed by everything you said about those with the no planes and what we had at the Pentagon, and the fact that we had the first Pentagon video, there's no explosion at all. And then in the second, it appears the implosion, the firebolt was imposed on the video, and they did a sloppy job, which I believe explains why they've been reluctant to have it released. And Tom Fitton succeeded under Freedom of Information Act in prying it into the public view. And now we can see why.
Amen. Dr. Fetzer, always an honor. Thank you so much for joining us. We will continue this exposure, and we will continue to bring the truth to our audience and to the American people and to the world. Thank you very much for joining us. God bless you. And thank you, our audience, for joining us on Great Awakenings. Thank you, Tong, our producer. And we will see you tomorrow. God bless you. Good night.